Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And welcome to the H&B Daily, I suppose.
Yes, very nice. Today. The pencil edition.
Yeah, that's it. We had a bit of a chat about various things.
Also, analog VAR, didn't we?
Yeah,
Paul?
You had a good idea. Well, yeah.
let's not say a good idea.
I tell you what, we will put in the podcast that I can't believe, just to indulge you. You and our producer sponsor the kit of a Torquay player.
We do, yes.
And we got him on, and you were like a couple of hysterical girls. It was like Salem.
Well, it's like a peek behind the curtain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Paul?
So we'll bring you some the best of that conversation we had with the man who kit you sponsor. And
John Ketley?
John Ketley was on because there's a typhoon ahead in for Japan and possibly disrupting the World Cup and indeed the lives of many Japanese.
You think
people.
They'd have thought about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Should we have the World Cup in typhoon scenes?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was always, they did kind of flag it up, but what are you going to do? Well, not hold it in typhoon season, I suppose. But anyway, you'll hear Ketters. He was on very good form as well. So
just on for a min.
Here it. Well, if he was a cricketer, that's what they'd call it.
Yeah, they would.
If he was a cricketer, that's what they definitely would call it. Anyway, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Exciting, isn't it?
It is. It's just given a fresh impetus to an international week.
It has.
It's come to this.
Although,
to some it may be a bit of fluff, but to others it's very much front and centre of the news agenda.
Content.
Yeah,
it's content.
This is what they may say they want to dwell really on the withdrawal from Europe, but this is what they really want.
It's cheered everyone up.
A kind of verbal catfight on Instagram, on Twitter and on social media.
Beautiful.
Generally.
This is what the kids want. Need to get onto it.
And I thought, just the same as our England correspondent, Nigel Adley, that's definitely Derby versus Leicester in the third round of the FA Cup.
Beautiful.
That's warming
those balls up as we speak.
They will be.
Like you say, it's an international break. I went to a match last night, Paul.
You did?
Went to Torquay United v Ebbsfleet away last night.
At the Cufflink.
The Cufflink Stadium.
It's a fantastic name for a stadium. You can see you at the Cufflink.
See you down there.
You at the Cufflink on Wednesday. Yeah, tremendous.
Everyone's very smart in there.
I bet they're well turned out.
The training ground's called the Taipin. No. And 4-2 we won, Paul.
Yeah, well done, Torquay.
4-2. Yeah, very, very good. But it should have been 5-2. But we had a Frank Lampard-style goal disallowed.
I've seen it because someone was filming the moment. And the Joan Cardigan, our producer, who you do the National Obsession podcast with, he sent it out. And it clearly crosses the line.
It clearly does.
And then
does.
The lino sort of ambles into view.
It comes in.
A minute after the
ball. 5 minutes later, jogs in.
And
yeah.
The goal was disallowed. But it's no VAR, of course.
No VAR
in
the National League, Paul. And I was wondering if we could. I've come up with some ideas. Analog VAR is what I'm calling it. Analog ideas of how we solve that without having VAR.
Yeah.
I've got two. I'm going to run them both by you. I don't know if anyone else can come up with any more.
All right, then, yeah. Analog VAR. It's analog in a digital age, which I think we're all looking for, isn't it?
A big pit behind the goal line.
Yeah.
Like a dug, a big trench, maybe sort of 6 foot down. Mm-hmm. Like a grave, you know.
Like the moat they used to have at Highbury.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But covered in memory foam. You've seen this stuff,
well,
like
they
mattresses.
Could sponsor it. We're going to talk about that later.
Balls don't bounce on it, you know. Yeah. So if it lands in the pit, it's a goal. It's cut and dry. It's black or white.
What if it misses the goal, but still, I mean, it's only behind the line.
Okay. Only behind the line. A ball's whipped behind the line. Douche, big pit of memory foam.
What about the goalkeeper's safety?
It's memory foam, Paul.
Oh, okay.
It's lovely. It's a lovely little advert for Simba mattresses or whoever, whichever mattress you like.
Hugo Lloris.
It's going to be lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
A big pit or just paint. just paint, just wet paint behind the goal line.
That, wouldn't you?
It'd be lovely, yeah, Johnson's or someone there behind the crown, behind the thing, behind the goal line. Ball lands on it, paint on the ball. Is there paint on the ball? Just having a look, just check in. No paint, no goal.
That's it. What colour would the paint be? Obviously not whatever. Same, not white.
Well, whatever colour the team, whatever the colour the home team's home kit is. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, paint.
Analog VAR. I've come up with it.
I mean, but players sometimes fall into the goal. You'd have players covered in paint. You'd have goalkeepers' boots covered in paint. Is that a nice?
That's details. That's mere details. The pit is my favourite idea, but analog VAR. I think we need it.
I like the idea of a grave depth pit in the goal mouth of a. I think from a health and safety point of view, that works.
It'd be lovely. You could put cameras in it. People could perhaps pay to sit in it now and again.
Yeah, and watch the game from just see basically the goalkeeper's legs.
Yeah, lovely, isn't it? It's a lovely idea. You don't seem particularly sold on it.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I'm not sure the Premier League will, or the National League will, really.
So anyway, trying out, we'll doesn't put it out there. Don't close your mind off so much, Paul.
Have you ever turned amateur sleuth? Let us know today in light of the big story of the day involving Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy. And so, did you ever, and in what circumstance, what was your technique? We know Colleen's technique now, but what was your technique for turning amateur sleuth, whether it was at work, at home, even if the dog was doing it and you felt, but what did you do? What was your system? What was your modus operandi?
We had rats once and I left, and I didn't know if we did have rats or not, but I left some flour down to see if it had any footprints in it.
Right, that's clever.
That isn't particularly sleuthing, isn't it? You could do that with burglars.
What if, like, but the trouble is, rained, one of the kids walked through it, you thought you'd have giant rats.
Yeah.
Like a terrible James Herbert novel.
Yeah.
But, so did you have rats?
We had rats. We had rats in the loft.
How do you know they weren't mice because they had bigger feet?
Because I caught them, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm from Devon and I killed them.
The flour played no part.
No, I killed them.
Were they just straight in the deep fat fryer then once they'd been rolled in flour?
In the bin, up the road.
Really?
Yeah, that's what you do. If you're a farmer...
In the bin, you mean in someone else's bin?
No, not someone else's bin. a bin up the road.
Yeah, I'm not having rats in our own bin. We put it in Fred's at number 16.
They come back, you see, they come back.
Well, the dead ones don't, do they?
No, but they're there.
You've got a load of zombie rats covered in flour.
It can happen.
Wandering the streets of Oxford.
Looking like ghosts.
Yeah, what a thought. Also this afternoon, want to get you going on an old favourite, Twisted Memorabilia from the world of sport. Because some enterprising soul... back in 1953, spotted Sir Winston Churchill at the pictures. The London Coliseum had gone to see a film premiere.
Ooh.
And, you know, in the days before you got like £100 fine for this, he dropped his cigar butt on the floor.
Oh.
She picked it up as a souvenir, the great man's cigar butt, put it in a shoebox. And she died in the 80s. Now her family have decided that they may put it up for auction so someone else can enjoy the spent cigar butt of Sir Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
And they reckon it could go for up to about £6,000-£7,000.
How are they proving it, Ciz?
Well, I mean, she's...
Are they doing a DNA test on it? One of these DNA where you spit in a tube and you send it off and it comes back?
The idea in these troubled times of possibly bringing back... the man who saved us there may be people deciding at the moment that's perfect for Winston Churchill. He had quite a colourful career, didn't he?
This is Jurassic, but this is the British version of Jurassic Park. We've got a bit of old Churchill's DNA. We're bringing back Prime Minister, because it's a good episode. Doctor Who.
There's probably people at the moment trying to raise the money to do just that. But anyway, it does lead us on to a bit of Twisted Memorabilia. And if you owned the spent cigar butt of Sir Winston Churchill, I'd say that's fairly twisted. Let's give you some of the sports ones we've had over the years from the Talk Sport listeners very quickly. A Manchester United match ticket coated in dust. There's a reason for that. The headlight windscreen wiper off of Laurie McMenemy's Mercedes. A spark plug from John Sillett's ride-on Lord Mower, the old Coventry manager. Steve Perriman's fillings. Steve went to a dentist and the dental nurse husband was a Tottenham fan. So she said, here, I've got these for you. The Steve Perriman's fillings.
He was a good player, you know, but... Yeah. Not exactly Elvis, is it?
He is to me, mate.
Okay,
he
is
to me. A toaster signed by Charlie Nicholas. Bloke saw Charlie Nicholas out and about.
Yeah.
And said, could you sign this? And the only thing he'd just been to Argos. So he signed his toaster.
Lovely.
Roberto Baggio's ponytail and coffee mug that Roberto drank from. It was in a hairdresser's in Italy. A guy was there and he had the ponytail removed. Mm-hmm. Somebody kept it and there's still the lip stain of the coffee on Roberto's mug still there.
That's good because you can prove that that's his... His ponytail.
A Veruca sock signed by Sheffield Wednesday's David Hurst. That's quite nice. Jermaine Pennant's tumble dryer.
Lovely.
Someone's kept that. And the best one...
That's Jermaine Pennant. Kept that.
Yeah. Ex-Scotland keeper Alan Ruff. He's late budgie. They were doing a loft conversion in Alan's house, the bloke told us. And the budgie got up there and it got caught up there and it died.
Someone's got it.
Breaking news. Well, the bloke kept it. He kept it because the guy, he thought it was...
Mummified it, is he? Or?
Well, he basically pressed it in a book like you would flowers. He said, but you can still... He said it's flat, but you can still make out the beak. So there we are. Just some of the twisted memorabilia that you've compiled over the years.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, I'm sorry, Charlie.
That's all right, don't worry about it. Just, you've done it a long time, fine. Yes, right.
You had some very good ideas, didn't you?
I did. Analog VAR. So last night, National League game between Ebbsfleet and Torquay United. Our midfielder, Frankie Vincent, on loan from Bournemouth, struck it beautifully.
Great hit,
hit the bar, bounced behind the line, bounced up, hit the bar, back into the keeper's arms. Goal not given.
Yeah.
No VAR in the National League. So I've come up with some ideas.
Yeah.
Some analogue ideas.
You had paint behind the
line. Paint behind the line. So if there's paint on the ball, it's a goal.
Yeah.
And a big pit was my best one. There's like a big 6-foot drop.
With memory foam all around it.
And the ball goes in it. It goes in it. I wonder if anyone else had any ideas. We've got a few.
Paul in Whitney, a million miles from you, says, what about 10-inch spikes behind the goal so the ball impales on it?
Lovely.
And once it's impaled, it's a goal.
The ball punctured? Yes, goal.
Goal, okay.
There's no doubt there, is there? I can't see any problem in that.
No.
Marcus Clayton has said, paint behind the goal doesn't work because it doesn't prove the whole ball has crossed the line. You'd leave a ball's width before you did the paint.
The pit, though, doesn't he, Marcus?
But the pit of VAR. Yeah. The pit of VAR.
Yeah.
This is something like off an ITV, ITV show on a Saturday night. Play with a Velcro ball.
That's KB, says this.
Yeah, and behind the goal line is also Velcro. This is lovely, isn't it? As soon as the ball hits it stops dead and you can assess if it's gone fully over the line. It seems quite to change the ball seems.
Can you play with a Velcro ball?
Because players would start wearing Velcro boots and would stick to their foot.
They wouldn't wear Velcro boots, or they'd wear kind of the
prickly
antidote
boots
to the Velcro boot. Anyway, you get the idea of that.
Yes.
If you've got any other ideas for analog VAR, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet tier. That was referees, wasn't it, back in the day? Analog VAR.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Science can help, says Palace Ash. It's impossible for the ball to hit the bar, bounce down, and then hit the bar again without crossing the line.
Well, there we are. So
does that help us?
Yeah, it does help. Analog VAR. Here we are. This one seems quite difficult. Have a clear plastic screen fitted behind the goalposts, one ball width back from the goal line. A red light on top of the crossbar would be triggered if the screen moved when hit. It's too complicated.
It's a no from us, I'm afraid.
A one-way laser force field.
Dave thought his clear plastic screen would work with the Dragons, but unfortunately, he has left empty-handed. So, Charlie and our producer, Joan Cardigan, were at the Cufflink last night,
Cufflink Stadium,
which you all know is Ebbsfleet's ground, and they witnessed their team, Torquay United, get a whopping away win.
4-2.
4-2.
Should have been 5-2. Yep. Could have been 8-2.
Okay. It's the great thing about supporting a club at that level, of course. One of the joys is you can just get so much closer to it. If I wanted to sponsor the kit of, say, Lucas Moura, it would probably cost me a pretty penny, our chairman. It wouldn't be cheap.
I can't imagine but at Torquay United's level, you have the access. But also in the National League, one of the things about watching any lower league football is you can get closer to the whole thing. It is analogue. It's much more...
We're talking
about analogue VAR. It's a lot more analogue than... You go, you see it, you breathe it, you smell it, you're close to it, you can touch it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I don't want you to, but you know.
That's true. And then you get a restraining order and then you stop it. So... the National Obsession podcast, which you and John do.
National League.
That's fine, yeah. You've done that, and you sponsor the kit of one of the Torquay players, the away kit.
The away kit.
That was a bit rich for your blood, though.
Couldn't afford both. Couldn't afford both. But no, Liam Davis, our left back. It was everything you want in a footballer. Strong in the tackle, level-headed, brilliant at going forward, and scores 1 to 2 goals a season, John. John, doesn't he, John? And Paul, he's just a brilliant, brilliant player. Now.
Okay.
And we absolutely love sponsoring him as well. It's
well,
really good.
You're blowing smoke up his backside because he's on the line, of course.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Good afternoon, Liam.
How's it going?
Are
you okay?
Yeah, he's all right. They love you. They're like a couple of giggly pops. They were going to be talking to Take That. They're both very excited that you've joined us today.
Liam, did you get any sleep? How long was the trip home? Ebbsfleet to Torquay? Was that 5 hours?
Yeah, it was a good 5+ hours of the stop off. Got back about 4:30 in the morning.
Cool.
Did the school run. Went to gym, done a little recovery session. And I've not really had to catch up on my sleep, to be fair.
Well, look, we do appreciate you joining us, because you scored. Charlie and John talked me through the goal. It was the classic left back goal, wasn't
it? Little 1-2, wasn't it, up the left? Was it with Jake Andrew on the left? Little 1-2.
Little 1-2, Jake.
You drove into the box,
and Frankie Vincent put a nice ball in for me, and I ran onto it and hit it and scored, and I was happy.
Good.
Frank was unlucky, to be fair. Yeah. Like you chatting about with the goal line technology, I think it would have been 5-2 if we had the VAR level.
Yeah. I think the Championship may get it first.
Yeah, was Frank going on about it all the way home, the 6-hour coach journey home? Was he getting, what's that goal?
He did travel back on the bus, but I don't think he was too happy about it. Because it would have been a great goal.
And there is a video. Someone took a kind of video where they were just filming at the time. And you can't clearly see it cross the line, but when it's slowed down or when it's... You can see it's well over the line, isn't it?
Yeah, I think...
Liam won't say he'll be back defending.
Swerved all over the place. So I think the linesman was probably a little bit behind it, but...
He was. I see him kind of amble into the shot after the ball's left the goal. Yeah.
Now, Liam, obviously...
I think that's why I didn't give it.
Yeah, that's it.
Last season, National League South champions, and Gary, slightly up and down start of the season, but Gary's and you...
Oh,
boys,
you're getting very football.
Well, they seem to be putting a run together now, Paul. Three wins in a row now.
Knotts, this is it.
But a huge game Saturday, Notts County away.
Oh, yeah, the historic Notts County. What a game that'll be.
Yeah, it's a big game. I mean... You know, we always get told it's a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, we're starting to get into a little bit of form now. We've still got a few injuries to come back. So, you know, things are looking good.
Yeah.
Having your kit sponsored, are you grateful for these boys for putting their hand in their pocket so you can wear that away kit with pride, Liam?
the kit's really nice this season as well.
Yeah, so, is it?
Yeah,
nice
it's
kit.
Nice to have the support from the sponsors and stuff. Yeah. So everyone at the club's grateful. And nice to have Charlie as my sponsor as well.
Yeah, it's the National Obsession podcast. Yeah, John who does.
Yeah, John
is disappointed
very upset.
There. I will say,
is
the best.
His old bottom lip's going as he didn't get a mention.
It is the best kit Torquay have ever had.
What the away kit? What is it? Talk me through the away kit.
The away kit. Well, it changes, but at the moment it's all white with black socks, which looks absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
What if you have a dodgy kit, Liam? Does it make a difference to you as a player?
I don't think it does. I'm trying to think if I've had any...
If you put it on and you feel smart and you feel like ready to go, does it make a big difference?
When you've got a nice kit and you put it on, you feel good, you feel ready to play. It's just like, if you're dressing up if you're going out on a night out or whatever, you dress up and you feel good, play good. So I think the kit does help a little bit, but that's not the be all and end all of it. It's nice to have a nice kit.
So the manager, suit or tracksuit for a game? What does he wear generally?
At home games, he wears the suit and a tie.
Yeah.
On the away games, where we're travelling and stuff, it's probably more comfortable to be in the tracksuit. So he goes to the tracksuit for the away games.
Oh, that's interesting. So he's not obviously not superstitious because, some managers say, well, I wore the suit, so I've got to wear the suit for the next game. So he's sports casual. Yeah.
Gary,
if he's got a long
Gary doesn't
trip.
Need superstition because he's a genius. So he just knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Also, he really likes Liam. Liam's an ever-present, so he knows what he's on
about. He's done a fantastic job, Gary. But what's your story then, Liam? What's been your career path to Torquay?
Started at Coventry. Well, started at Fulham, actually, as a kid, 12 to 16, and then left home quite early.
Yeah.
Went to Coventry.
Right.
I was there for 5 years, started to kind of build a career from there, and then went to Northampton.
Yeah.
There for a few years again, and then Oxford, and then, to be fair, Northampton's where I first met the gaffer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought me back to Yeovil, brought me back up to the Championship at Yeovil.
Yeah.
We had some, had a good couple of years there, and then I went to Sweden from Yeovil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my cousin was playing up there, and I said once in my career I want to play abroad, so I ended up going.
What was it like? What was the experience like out there?
Yeah, it was good. The culture's good out there. The football's different.
Mm.
Not as hustle and bustle. It's a bit more controlled and a bit more slower tempoed. But it was just it was a new experience.
Yeah,
I went there thinking I'm going to have to learn the language, but. You know, after a day there, everyone's trying to talk to me in English.
All right. Kind of yeah. I won't bother. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, and when I did try to speak Swedish, the players and the coaches would kind of laugh at me and look like I was speaking totally, you know, in a different language.
So not very supportive.
I just stuck to the English. The coach there spoke English anyway. So.
All right.
They do put you all to shame, the old Scandinavians, with the quality of their English, don't they, really, generally?
Yeah, their English is really right, good. A few of the Swedish players weren't happy because we're doing team talks in English. There was about seven English-speaking players out there. So. A few of the boys weren't too happy about that, but it was all good, though.
Well, brilliant.
He's come home to talk here.
He's here
forever. He can never leave. He's a brilliant, brilliant player, and we absolutely love sponsoring him. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's a nice place.
English Riviera.
You know, it's a big club, to be fair.
Massive club.
Liam, thank you. And the boys, if the podcast gets more successful, you'll do the home kit next year.
I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, we're happy. Liam seems to only score away, so we like sponsoring the away kit. Thanks for scoring in front of us last night, Liam. I appreciate it.
And he did.
I'll get another one on the next away game.
Because Charlie did say you're a 2-goal a season man, which I thought sounded like fighting talk to me, like he's trying to spur you on.
He's probably challenging me to try and get a bit more.
Come on, Liam. Just stay ahead of Ben Winter. Stay ahead of Ben Winter.
Don't listen to Gary. When he says sit back, just bomb on. Don't listen to
bomb
him.
On.
Yeah.
All guns blazing.
Nice one. Cheers, Liam. All the best.
Thank you, Liam.
Cheers.
Talking United left back Liam Davis there. His away kit that he scored in last night, sponsored by the National Obsession podcast.
Yeah.
Joan Cardigan and Charlie Baker, they're putting their hand in there. Can you tell us what it costs?
I think it's about 200 quid, I think. I think it's about 200 quid.
It's not a game, a season.
A season, yeah.
Oh, okay. And the home kit, how much does that go up?
200. I think it's like 400 to sponsor everything and 200 for.
You can mix and match.
Well, yeah. Lovely. But it's a good thing to do. Get involved with your local club, support your local club. Do you know what? I think Chelsea.
Well, I do.
Do you know what, though?
I know, exactly.
So you're all right. Yeah. I think Chelsea are feeling the benefits this year of having their kids play for them.
Yeah.
And that is what it feels like to support the National League.
Yeah,
you buy into it. You keep it low level. It's all got too big. Keep it low level. Be more analogue about it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, as you're probably aware, there is a typhoon heading for the Rugby World Cup, and it's a biggie, and it's picking up speed, apparently. Is it Hagibis or whatever, but it's a typhoon, certainly, and it's bigger than Japan. It's big in Japan. It's picking up strength. So we thought we need to turn to an expert to find out whether it's true that the England and Scotland games could have to be moved. Although that shouldn't really be our first concern, should it really, with so many people living in its path. John Ketley joins us, Burnley fan, weatherman, friend of the show, of course. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Paul, and good afternoon, Charlie.
Hey, John.
So, yeah, I mean, the difficult thing about these things is that chart a course for something like this is very, very difficult, isn't it? I mean, they can't leave the decision too late.
No, they can't. Is it a rumour that if it's completely abandoned, it becomes a nil-nil scoreless draw or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's why. I mean, certainly in the game involving Scotland, that could be an issue, the Japan-Scotland game. It's less so, I think, in the England-France game because they've both qualified. But I think would do for Scotland. Scotland would be eliminated, which is why they're looking... Yeah. To find another venue for it.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Well, this is a brute. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you've heard from your expert in Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
they're used to bad weather and poor performances on the field as well. We've got big problems with this Hagibis. I don't know what the locals would call it, but it's not unusual for this time of the year. Eddie Jones, of course, lived there for many years. He was coaching different teams in Japan and the national side as well. So he knows perfectly well that these sort of things can happen at this time of the year. In fact, I've been working for the RFU, as you probably know, Paul, for the last few years. Mm. And I did give some information to them about 2 years ago about what to expect in Tokyo in September, October time. So it's just coming to fruition, really. It's exactly what you'd expect to see. But this is a super typhoon, and super typhoons don't come along every year. This is more serious than normal, and it is going to be quite a troublesome thing, I'm sure.
We'll share Jim's... I think Jim got in touch and said, yeah, typhoons, hurricanes, both tropical revolving storms, the names are solely based on location. Yeah. They are the same thing, he says.
Yes, they are. In northwest Australia... they're called Willy Willys, but that's probably too much information.
A little bit. In rugby, though, that's how it goes sometimes, isn't it?
Willy Willys. It could be. But this is hot stuff. This is a pretty nasty typhoon. You know, we laugh about these things when we hear about hurricanes coming across the UK. We get a bit excited, but nothing compared with this. This will be bringing winds in excess of 100 miles an hour up towards Tokyo.
Yeah.
And several inches of rain, mudslides, power cuts. And that's something we must remember as well. Big power cuts are quite common in Japan, and especially when you get these typhoons. So even if you think the conditions are okay for the game to be played, there might not be any power. The infrastructure might be breaking down. That's the thing.
And as you said, it's not just, I mean, the players, they can get the players out of the path and they can find somewhere else to play it. But there'll be a lot of people, a lot of fans of both sort of teams having to sort of hunker down as this passes through. I mean, I was caught in one, John. I've never told you this before. I was in Wilma. Back in 2005, Hurricane Wilma that sort of battered the sort of Yucatan coast and hit Miami when I was there on holiday with my family and my friends. And
you should have contacted me first.
We should have given you a... Well, they told us, this is the nature of... 48 hours before, or 72 hours before, they said, look, it's likely to hit as a tropical storm. The word is it's going to lose intensity over the Caribbean. It's going to be fine. It could be a bit hairy for a couple of days, but what it did, of course, because it is the weather and unpredictable as much as with a nod to what you do for a living, it can be difficult, can't it? They didn't know it picked up, and I think it hit where I was as a kind of category 440 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, I mean the beauty. Well, there isn't a beauty about this, but as it goes further north into northern latitudes, further north away from the tropics, then you are going to lose intensity rather more quickly than you would further south in for example, Florida. But as you go up through Japan, it's a pretty big country when you look at it on a map. It does lose intensity as it goes across the cooler water, the cooler air generally into these temperate latitudes. So it will be probably at its worst late Friday into Saturday, just when the games are supposed to be being played. And then in 36 hours' time, you would barely know there'd been a storm there at all. So it'll go away off to the east of Hokkaido and everything will go back to normal very quickly.
At one point we left, it stopped, everything, the wind stopped, the rain stopped, and we kind of slowly ventured outside.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we saw the eye above us. We saw the eye of the hurricane, and as it passes over, everything stops.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it is quite awe-inspiring. Yeah. I mean, I was terrified because the kids were quite young. Yeah. But yeah. It's a weird thing. You see this thing just pass, and then of course, it all starts again. All the mayhem starts
That's
once
right.
again.
You ever been in one, John?
No, I haven't, and I'm not a storm chaser by nature. No, it's not the sort of thing I go looking for, really. No. I mean, people do get a bit excited as they put their anoraks on and go hunting for bad weather. I mean, I do live on extreme weather, but the sort of thing we get in this country, really, although we do get excited for half a day, they're really nothing compared with other parts of the world.
No. Well, John, a pleasure as always. A quick
Thanks,
one on
John.
Burnley. How do you think the season's shaping up?
It's going all right, isn't it?
Yeah,
not
too bad.
It's going great, really, because I'm looking at the fixture list in front of me now for the next 8 weeks when we get back from this short break. And we've got some very winnable games. There's several matches there we should be winning. And I'm looking forward to about the 7th of December, I think, when we come down to Tottenham.
Oh, yeah.
That should be a cracker.
You're
really
looking forward to it now, we've been playing. But you wish it was next week.
Well, I'm really tempted to meet up with you.
Goodness me.
I think it's worth a trip.
Oh, yeah, we will, John. We'll have a pint. That'll be good.
Sean Dyche might be in charge of Tottenham by then.
Even the Torquay fans have started on us.
Upset you both.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he'll be going to Scunthorpe. That's one thing.
Thank you, John.
Pleasure.
John Ketley there, Hagibis, I would imagine it is. Would you say it sounds a bit Greek when I say it that way?
Yeah, I don't like it. I just
Hagibis.
Hagibis. Agibis.
They've been calling it Typhoon Haggis, of course, because it could affect Scotland.
Yeah. Beautiful. Of course they are. Of course they are.
Tabloid name for something quite frightening. So, it's Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport.
Could they play inside? Some of the games are inside, aren't they? So, like the Wales game today was inside in one of those domes.
If you've got a typhoon/hurricane going on outside and can take the roof off.
You know,
it wouldn't be great. Dip both goalposts in water and washing up liquid solution. So when you score a goal, you'll literally be bursting your opponent's bubble, says Chris in Melbourne. Bit strange, Chris.
Seems a bit too analogue.
That's analogue VAR that Charlie's looking for today.
Bloke with the flag and the goal who raised it when the ball crossed the line. They've tried this, haven't they? And then no one ever raised their flag. Anyway, I think we've done that. It's very, very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And we've been a bit talky heavy today, which we often are. But
doesn't seem it to me.
There's no such thing, is there? But this has come in. It's a request. It says, I'm a disillusioned Spurs fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I've recently moved to the southwest, brackets Dartmoor.
All right.
And I'm looking to jump on the Torquay United gravy train.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, sure.
Jump on a gravy train or do you jump on a bandwagon?
There is a steam train from Paignton to Dartmouth.
Any tips on where to sit and where to park in town? This is all a bit niche, isn't it?
Very
up the
niche.
Goals.
He's gone from TalkSport to Torquay Sport.
Yeah, so he's. I mean, are you happy to have a new one on board then? Disillusioned Spurs fan. They're jumping ship and moving to Dartmoor. That's how bad it's got.
I don't blame them. That new stadium, they can't cope. You can't park near Whyart Lane anymore, can you? Yeah, no. Just park on Heel Road.
You probably Dartmoor's get on the nearest you can park.
Depends if you want to sit down, you know, sit on Bristow's bench or get in the pop side. It's up to you.
Look at that.
15 quid in, have some cheesy chips, do the 50-50 draw, you won't spend 20 quid.
Yeah.
You might meet the players, sponsor one of them, you get them on your radio show. I don't know if that applies to everyone.
Warren says, I fitted Dimitar Berbatov's toilet.
Oh, yeah.
He helped me lift the granite lid off the toilet cistern, he
said. That does sound like a two-person job.
It's great that he weighed in. He got on the tools, did Dimitar.
Do you think Berbatov looked like he was putting much effort in while he was doing it?
It would have been done in a very casual way, wasn't
his
it?
His first
very
touch on lifting. The granite would have been very, very good. And after that, it looked like he put some effort in.
Yeah.
Dimitri.
Quite
Dimitar.
Relaxed. Quite relaxed in his process, certainly. So, I know you've got some bits, Charlie.
All sorts of Roger Daltrey.
Yeah.
Roger Daltrey has ditched his mobile phone.
Has he?
So he can spend his final years free from technology. He said, I'm down to one call a day. I want the last few years of my life. I mean, it's a bit doomy, isn't it? Keep it light, Roger. To be me doing what
He's
I want to.
He's a great Nick, Roger.
What I, wanna, I know. What I do, and I can't stand emails. I spend all my life doing them. I think it's since he got scammed. or by an email, and he said, I won't get fooled again.
Hey, come
and
on.
And then there is Roger.
Who, what's the one call a day he's prepared to take?
I don't know. What do you think it is?
The thing is, if you're only taking one call a day...
Pinball factory?
Oh, the bloke phones up and says, I understand you've just had an accident. That would be really annoying because that's your quota.
Is that
if,
what it is?
If you're like if a mate phones up, you've used it, the call, haven't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Since he was a young boy.
So Pep Guardiola, there's a new book about Pep at City, and it talks about we talked about the fine system at Real Madrid, and I bored Andy Ridgid with it actually.
Oh,
but at City, he has a kind of different forfeit system. They spin a wheel, they have a roulette wheel. If you turn up late for training, that sort of thing, he sets you to work.
He doesn't
just take money off you because he knows, you know, when you're minted, who cares?
Yeah, you are.
So they spin the wheel, and you have to do something to compensate the team. Mm-hmm. Punishments include helping the kit man, the groundsman, the analysts, and that's not much of a forfeit, is it?
Yeah.
The analysts, although, on the kitchen staff.
All right.
Benjamin Mendy apparently has had several stints in the laundry room. And he's rocked up
like preparing for life after the game, Paul.
Yeah,
they all need something to go
they're
to.
They're all going to need another trade,
exactly,
aren't they?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They can't all go and run pubs.
No, they're not all going to
stay in the game.
Yeah.
Sweet shop.
With that in mind, we found out what's been going on with the England boys out in Japan if they mess up. Sam Underhill admits that one of the things that the players that step out of line do is they get involved in the coaches or the players' urine checks. They help the coaches with the players' urine checks.
And right.
Apologies if you're having a bit of a late lunch. But Sam says you put it through a spectrometer to check how diluted or concentrated it is. The coaches normally do it, but you have to assist. This is your forfeit.
Well, you have to hold it for him.
Plastic gloved up, he says, receiving these nice warm pots from the lads. Probably not the way you want to start the day. But honestly, you wouldn't turn up late again, would you?
It sounds much more of a rugby thing, that.
It does. Working with the analysts or handling of your teammates.
Oh, yeah, I'm assuming when they say handling, I'm assuming they mean the pots. They're not having to hold anything else for a moment.
No. It's not a Gillian McKeith situation.
Gloved hand.
Is this your card? And also the other thing with Pep apparently is that when he's doing his pre-match team talk, he goes barefoot.
Oh, lovely.
There's a touch of the, in a way, there's a touch of the Dominic Cummings about him, isn't there? You know what I mean? I think they are cut from the same cloth. Not in all ways, clearly.
No.
But in, you know what I mean?
He's that, down that kind there, of, barefoot, prowling.
Even the way that he's shaken up the people, the way people are in a dugout, you know, a man who turns up with a T-shirt under a jumper and a pair of action slacks.
And a dream catcher.
Yeah.
Just picking the team out of a dream catcher.
Good old Pep, he is a genius, though. I'll give you that. We never found out. We never actually spoke. The person who was supposed to ring in, who gave the idea to Colleen Rooney.
Yeah.
Maybe
it was Colleen Rooney herself.
On her other
Twitter feed. A secret one.
It could have been. No, someone gave her the idea and he has photographic evidential proof of it.
Double indemnity. There we are. If Roger Daltrey doesn't want to answer his phone or emails, he could just get a substitute. There we are. That's lovely from David Collins. Thank you.
If you want to work that particular seam until 4 o'clock, then feel free with old Who and the like.
The Who?
TalkSport.com.
That's when we bring on a sub at Torquay.
81089 tweet TSHNJ. Jack the Plumber goes by the name of Jack the Plumber.
Yeah.
Were you in a Guy Ritchie film, Jack the Plumber? Kevin Mitchell, the boxer, helped me carry a radiator down the stairs.
Did he?
That's good.
I don't know who Kevin Mitchell is.
Fighter, boxer. He's the sort of bloke who looks like he could carry a radiator.
Wonder what sort of radiator? One of those old school ones, or just like
he hasn't given any more information. I can find out the make and size if you're interested.
If you could, I'll tell you what's heavier: washing machine, isn't it? That bit of concrete.
Yeah. Who's going to help you with a washing
machine?
Nothing's
heavier than a washing machine, is it?
Tyson Fury might help you with a washing machine.
That's the top one. You know when they do the Atlas Stones in World's Strongest Man?
Yeah.
You've never seen the last one because it's a washing machine. No one can lift it.
Of course.
It's the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
It was.
With Ketters there.
Thank you, Charlie. You're back Saturday.
Saturday with Max. We're 10 to 1 Saturday
because
the international break and then
nice.
Glory Hunters Sunday.
Brilliant.
With Lindsay Hipgrave.
Oh, okay.
Amongst
right.
others.
Fantastic. Thank you, Charlie. Andy back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.